535, moved by Counselor Ryan, second by Counselor Hoskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Town of McKellar is hereby reconvened in regular open session of council at 6:33 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 20, we better start with the game, make sure everybody is here and no new people. We'll start with the roll call.
Counselor Morley Hoskin.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Debbie Sidwalk.
Counselor Mike Hakanin.
Anya Watkinson, Clerk Administrator.
Deputy Clerk Carly Brighton.
Greg Gostick, Director of Operations.
Robert Morrison, Fire Chief, CEMC.
And Chris Everett, Fire Officer.
Good, we do have some new people, good. That's Dave Moore, the mayor. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and/or personal interest in general nature thereof? Okay, hearing none. We have Resolution 23-356, moved by Counselor Hakanin, second by Counselor Dulac. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Town of McKellar is hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held August 15th, 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Now, we've had one little change in the agenda, might be two. We'll deal with this first, and then we'll go with the amendments. Do we have a number for that? I have Resolution 23-357, moved by Counselor Dulac, second by Counselor Hakanin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Town of McKellar is hereby further amend the agenda by moving item 20.1, Community Center Kitchen Appliance Replacement, to 17.4. And these, which follow 17.3, and 17.3 is being moved to the beginning of the agenda. So the first thing will be 17.3, that'll be Fire Chief Morrison, and then 17.4, Director of Operations, Greg Gostick. So call the question on that one. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. As we shuffle everything around, then we'll call up Fire Chief Morrison.
Thanks once again for the consideration, Tuesday night, training night, and so we have training at 7:00, 800 hours, so it's great.
Make sure, I'm not sure if the mic is picking up everything.
Here.
Check, check.
Yep.
So, I'm here as I have presented a report for the retirement and sale of Rescue 3. Everybody has had access to your package, so anybody have any questions or any information within the package?
Should say, it was good to start with that. I want to congratulate on all the accomplishments since you took over as Fire Chief, quite a long list.
Oh, thank you.
And many things being accomplished, so appreciate that.
Totally but true.
Yeah.
The work in progress.
So any questions? You had the chance to read the report. I guess at this point, it's just directing us what your plans are and the whole succession planning sort of thing.
Sure. My understanding was that there was some confusion after the brief discussion during closed session. I apologize, I shouldn't have brought that up during closed session, regarding the future of Rescue 3 and the succession planning of the department. This document was put together just to try to clear up any confusion regarding that. The comment that was made about replacing Rescue 2 is in reference to as you can see in the timeline, replacing Rescue 2 when the budget allows, and we have the money in the capital reserve for apparatus. Ideally next year would be great, and then it, depending on the condition of Rescue 2 at that time, it would become the new Rescue 3. It would just be, because it's a cube van, because it's an old ambulance, it would be used to shepherd equipment back and forth to emergency calls that are of an extended period.
And it was a valid point you made, too. I think because it was donated, I don't know how that actually transpired, but it is not where we could sell it and get money for it.
No, it is not, which is why we ended up donating old Rescue 1, because it was under the same agreement with Perry Sound DMS. We paid a dollar for it. If we sold it for $9, we'd get a dollar back, and we'd have to give the ambulance service the remaining funds. So same agreement was made years ago with Rescue 2. So if it is a viable apparatus, then we can definitely still use it to replace the hole that's going to be left by losing Rescue 3, which in the opinion of the leadership of the department is just aged beyond the point where it's worth the investment. And we can recover some funds from that and save them for future date.
I know you're talking next year's budget sort of thing to
yes.
replace too. I guess the question is, and without belaboring it, would you be looking at, and it's hard to predict the future, another vehicle similar to Rescue 1 that you purchased?
Very similar.
Very similar?
Yes, yes. The capabilities of four-wheel drive is definitely a must. I considered that. For any rescue vehicle being any vehicle that does not have a tank or a pump on it. But there is a slim possibility that we may consider a mini pumper to put out of Station 2. It all depends on essentially the results of the community risk assessment that I'm currently doing and what the call volume dictates. So at this point in time, the intention is to replace it with exactly the same thing that we have in Rescue 1, because that provides us with multiple capabilities, which Rescue 2 currently is not.
And that there's no problem with the equipment in the back and moving and carrying things?
No, it's definitely been a learning process. We have identified that we would benefit from the use of a trailer for our seasonal equipment, such as ice water rescue in the winter, and so forth in the summer, wildfire in the summer. That may or may not be a budget issue. It's also been kicked around as a possible donation via the Firefighters Association. But we'll see what the results of that are in the future and decisions we made at that point. So, like I said, it's a learning process. We are getting the layout of the trucks sort of figured out to what benefits us the most.
I'm just wondering, just curious, over the years, EMS has never gone to four-wheel drive, or have they?
No.
As far as driving.
So when I stopped working EMS in 2013, they had not gone to four-wheel drive, but I was in Peel Region. Up here, I believe they're still driving two-wheel drive apparatus, which is why I think they stopped quite a bit.
Chris has a comment here.
I can give you a little hint on that. They did buy one four-wheel drive ambulance in Perry Sound. They did buy one four-wheel drive ambulance in Perry Sound. Everybody, ambulance drivers or ambulance attendants, hated it. And it was soon worked out of the fleet, but it didn't work out because of mileage. It worked out because nobody would drive it, to be honest with you.
Okay, interesting.
Well, for us having the ability, because we do go down unkept laneways, we do go, unplowed roads, and it allows us to be of assistance to the ambulance crew that's responding, but also be of assistance to ourselves, our own apparatus, and the public. It just gives us that extended capability that in a northern township, to me, seems like a necessity.
Councilor Ryan?
Yeah, Chris, can you tell me why they didn't like it? I mean, what was it about it they didn't like? Sorry. Trying to make Carly run a bit.
So basically, it was a... very similar to our Rescue 3. It was like a Q-Ban type of arrangement. So they really didn't have communications from the back to the front. And they were closed in the box. They didn't have a lot of windows. They couldn't see what was going on. Mm. And
okay. Fish eye.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like Rescue 3.
Sure.
And you can't tell when you're coming to a corner. You can't see anything outside. So if you're in the back of it, then you can get thrown around easy, real easy. It's bad enough in when they have the, you can see the, see out of the ambulances, you still get thrown around in the inside because you're not looking for corners.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Zulak.
So you're saying that when you're going to replace Rescue 3 with the same thing that you purchased, like Rescue 1, the pickup truck?
No.
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 So if you look at the layout in terms of timelines, which I believe would be on the last page of the package,
yeah,
for Rescue 2 and Rescue 3,
yeah,
you'll see that
the back page,
Rescue
yeah.
2, once retired,
yeah,
preferably hopefully next year if the budget allows, Rescue 2 will then transition to become Rescue 3, dependent upon the mechanical capabilities of the truck, the health of the vehicle at that time. If At the time that we receive old the new Rescue 2, the new pickup truck, essentially, we deem that Rescue 2 is still good to go. It's healthy enough to shepherd equipment back and forth to an emergency call, but not respond on an emergency basis. And that's the key here, is that you could effectively take the lights off of and the siren off of Rescue 3, because it is used to move air bottles, to move equipment and stuff like that to an extended scene if we ever had a declaration of emergency to shuttle emergency supplies around, but it does not have to respond to the initial call. Therefore, it does not have to respond on an emerge basis. So Rescue 2 would become Rescue 3. It would just be renamed.
So the new Rescue 2
would
be the
Rescue 2, yes, yes. Would be the same as what Rescue 1 is now.
Okay, and you're finding that there's hurdles you have to jump trying to fit everything, that you're saying that you need to have a trailer to pull the stuff?
No, we don't need to. We are looking at the possibility of, instead of having to essentially reorganize the vehicle as per the season, the benefit of having an equipment trailer would be that we don't have to do that anymore. We're not taking ice rescue stuff off. We can have it properly stored in bins all year long in the trailer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right now, we take the ice rescue stuff off the back of Rescue 1, and we put the wildfire stuff on and the summer stuff on in the summer. It's really not that big of a headache. All it means is that we are now storing that equipment at a different place in the fire hall. And so this would just...
So in the future, you're going to purchase a trailer?
In the future, we are going to consider the purchase of a trailer.
Okay, so in the future, are you going to consider the purchase of another trailer for the other fire hall?
No, we would only need the one.
So you would have to transport that trailer to that?
That would be totally capable of happening through Rescue 1 and new Rescue 2.
Okay.
Either one could tow it. So whichever hall, essentially the last training illusion was at, whatever hall it fit better in, which may in fact be Station 2 because it is a 4-bay hall as opposed to a 3-bay hall like Station 1,
yeah.
It may live there, right?
Okay.
But we would have the capability of towing it from either side. And that's important because if it's a call that comes in and Rescue 2 is the initial response vehicle, and then it's determined that that equipment is needed, Rescue 1 can come and pick it up and tow it to that call now. It doesn't always, Rescue 2 wouldn't have to leave the call to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
We would have that ability. Yes, sir.
So the basic equipment that you would require to, the basic uniforms and you're putting those on at the fire station, and there must be some basic equipment that is always in Rescue 1 besides the wildfire or the ice rescue equipment.
So are you talking about personal protective equipment, or are you talking about fire equipment? Because there is a difference. Personal protective equipment is kept on the person. If you walked outside to the parking lot, you'd see a big red bag in the back of my car, and that's my bunker gear. I have it on me all the time because I may be going directly to the scene, I may be going to Station 2 to respond. or I may be going to Station 1, depending on where I am within the township. I went to go and take a drive out to In-Holmes Bridge to go and check it out not too long ago. If a call had come in while I was out there in my personal vehicle, I would have gone to Station 2 to respond, because it's closer. We also have bunker gear storage and emergency gear storage within the halls. Some people, if they don't have a vehicle big enough of holding onto a hockey bag full time, they elect to keep their equipment in their home hall. So that qualifies as essentially PPE. That's bunker gear, that's coveralls, that's boots, that's helmets. That kind of thing, you generally either have to go to the hall or you have it with you. The stuff that's in the trucks all the time is our, right now on Rescue 1, we have two air packs, all of our medical kits, our for the north part of the lake, all of our medical kits, two SCBAs, axes, tarps, air bottles, you know, our defib, all kinds of equipment that we would use to respond on a non-fire call for like a CO detector or a medical call.
Great, and that's what I was looking for. And space-wise, wouldn't a cube van type of like the ambulance type of a vehicle be a little more practical for being able to store and organize that?
Space-wise, sure, you can always put more stuff in a truck, right? Unfortunately, the ambulance, the way they are with the two-wheel drive, that's the issue. We have various responses throughout the year where we're dealing with weather and conditions where we don't have clear roads that are nicely salted and so forth.
I hear about
you know what I mean.
He's
speaking last. I mean, they're always perfect. No,
but the ambulances, they're able to make it.
They come and they make it. Yes, but they're not necessarily going up the roadway. They're not necessarily going up the laneway. A lot of times, we have firefighters on scene for medical call who will drive up the laneway, get to the initial call. And then go meet the ambulance down at the end of the driveway and effectively carry the stretcher through the snow. Effectively help the ambulance push their pieces of equipment up the driveway because they can't get in the driveway.
So it's the person's driveway that's a problem.
Pardon me?
It's the personal driveway that's a
problem. It's the person's driveway, it's a laneway, it's because you can't guarantee that they're going to be plowed. Any road at any time could be impassable for an ambulance.
Sure.
And if that's the case, then we get in with our apparatus and we carry people out. We have pole stretchers and so forth, and we can carry them down the laneway. But we've been able to make it to that scene. And we can provide the initial medical interventions that are needed because we have our defib and our equipment with us.
Okay.
So that's where the importance of the four-wheel drive vehicle comes in.
You have to go to training, I know. Wait, one more question.
I can take as much time as you need. I've got the same setup. Whatever you need.
Rob, in particular, I like the chart that you had on page 6, which shows the number of calls that were made in each month, as well as the split between fire and medical. And perhaps I should have known this, but I mean, obviously more than twice the number of calls, number of fire calls is the medical. And hence the importance of Rescue 1 and Rescue 2 is because you
they
need
are
to, yeah.
Most used vehicles.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This past month we ran 25 calls for the month of July, and 23 of them were medical calls.
Yeah.
They are by far the bulk of our responses, and McKellar, for whatever reason, we are a busy little postage stamp of the township. We are above many of the townships that surround us in terms of call volume. So yeah, we use them. They get the miles for sure.
We have a question. Why would
my microphone coming?
No, behind you.
Why would you not want to go with 250?
A 250? The only reason I went with the 1500. It's like a duet here. The only reason we went with the 1500 is because, for in particular Rescue 1, we happen to get a very good deal with a fully kitted out vehicle. at that time. To us, to be able to go with the 2,500, that would be great. But we may be looking at, instead of the before HST cost, off the top of my head, I was going to say 80,000.
80 something.
Yeah.
We'd probably be looking at just over 100 for the
2,500. You buy two expensive trucks, man.
The thing is, they're all kitted out. They've got the increase in suspension, they've got the winches, they've got the caps, they've got the slide out caps,
yeah.
They've got the, you know. For us to outfit a vehicle with lights, sirens, and just the radio systems themselves, we could be looking at 8 to 10,000. So,
the other quick question: I know you broke it down here with medical, as you say, and fire. Have you broken it down in the two stations? Is this the first one to respond, station one, or
station? Generally speaking, when a medical call comes in. So, for instance, we had a five-year-old girl having an allergic reaction today. We had trucks from state. We had Rescue 1 and Rescue 2 respond, as well as a few personal vehicles. And this was a call to Hardy's Road and, Burnett's and Kerrville. Okay. The trucks from both ends, from both halls, went to the call, because you never know who is going to be able to make it there first, right? So the gentleman who took Rescue 1 happens to live very close. He was there within a few minutes, and he was on the way with the fire truck. We knew that the medical kits were on the way. 7 minutes later, the gentleman was able to make it to Rescue 2, who happened to live 10 minutes away or so, and get the apparatus there. And they both pretty much arrived at the same time. So that's why the call volume for those two trucks is high, because we do get a lot of mutual response.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't always have, we may have one person on the truck.
Right.
You know, and so for personal safety's sake, we always prefer to have more than one person on the scene.
Okay, great. Well, we'll talk about next year's budget later.
Great.
So I appreciate all this information for us.
No, no problem. They're just trying to make the decision to retire Rescue 3 a little bit easier.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We're good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ross.
Now we moved 20.1 up as well. Oh.
We moved it up 7.
Yeah. We'll do a resolution here first, though. And resolution 23-538, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of Kellerg hereby received the Fire Department Apparatus Status and Succession Planning Report, and further, the Council does deem Rescue 3 1998 surplus and authorize the Fire Chief to donate the vehicle to firefighters without borders. There's a little addition for us. Discussion?
So, in the timeline, is that what the fire chief?
Sorry, the Firefighters Without Borders caught me by surprise. I thought we were going to sell it.
I'm just reading the resolution. I don't know who. Maybe Ina?
Carly did.
Oh, Carly? Okay.
Sorry, I wrote it, but you can change the resolution to say to sell.
I would say we'd be better off to sell Rescue 3, collect whatever funds that we can get from it, and then to put that towards when we eventually replace Rescue 2. That would be an alteration to the resolution.
Okay, so we'll just cross out that last part. Yep.
But you still want it to be surplus?
To be sold. Yeah, surplus and sold.
Okay.
Advertising sold.
Sorry, Rob.
That's okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So I thought Rescue 3
yes.
was the cube then.
Rescue 3 is the big cube.
Right, so I thought you got that for a dollar.
No.
Sorry,
okay.
I thought you got it.
It's okay. No, it is confusing
it
because the names are all very similar. Rescue 3 is a 1998, essentially it looks like a Hertz moving van.
Right.
On a Dodge 3500
yeah.
platform.
Okay.
Rescue 2 is a 2014 Ford ambulance.
So it's the ambulance.
It is an ambulance body.
Okay.
The same as every PL EMS, or sorry, Paris Audi EMS truck
okay.
out there.
I'm clear now. I was just thinking if you got it for a dollar and then you were going to sell it, that you
would
have
to be
in
the back. Yes, no.
Okay.
The, which is why I'm saying we should sell it and try to get whatever we can.
Okay.
And sorry, Councillor Kekkonen was mentioning, you were saying something on this item too.
Just I wanted to ensure that the way this resolution was written was what you were expecting for it to be written, and as well, the timeline of declaring Rescue 3 surplus. I see in the report it says that it failed inspection.
It failed its inspection, so at this point in time, it's sitting in Wasco, just waiting for a decision, essentially a signed resolution. We will go and collect it and strip whatever equipment off of it that we can still use and then prepare it for sale.
And the other option was putting the $6,500 into it?
Yes, the $6,500 would have been a starting point after that because there were some body panels that needed to be replaced in order for it to meet the safety. We would have some other work to do in terms of getting it ready because we would have a very ragtag-looking patchwork of a Rescue 3 if we didn't paint the new fenders and stuff like that. So, $6,500 was the starting point.
If we declare a surplus Rescue 3, doesn't that leave you short a vehicle, though, for on the interim?
It does. So if we had, yes, it would be a headache for sure if we had if we had a major call where we had to run equipment back and forth, yes, definitely. Now, we'll make do. We'll do whatever we can over the next year to absorb that. Thankfully, we're not prone to major incidents in this area. We don't really have to, concern that on a daily basis, but it would, if something was to happen, let's say this winter we had a nice storm, we would probably be sitting there going, I wish I had a rescue.
But it's effectively out of service now anyway.
It's effectively out of service, but not by choice.
Okay.
So we'll deal with it in the shortcoming for the next year and a bit, and hopefully Rescue 2 is still in great condition enough to transition into that role in the future for us.
Just one thing. For the last time when we were talking about Rescue 3, I thought you said that it hardly ever goes out.
It does. It's a 98. It's only got 32,000 kilometers on it or something like that.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be a problem.
As long as old Rescue 2 is mechanically sound and will keep passing its yearly certifications, because that's the thing when it's an emergency vehicle, so it has to have that yearly safety certification. Yeah. Which is where we ran into the headache with Rescue 3 this year. So as long as it keeps passing that, then I see no reason to get rid of it.
Okay,
so the amendment is that we've deleted and authorized the fire chief to donate the vehicle to Firefighters Without Borders, and the amendment is to add, in place of that deletion, advertised and sold. So we'll call, first of all, a vote on the amendment. All those in favor? Opposed, and then I'll call a vote on the amended resolution as is. Call a question, all those in favor? That's the complete resolution. Thank you. Not opposed, carried.
Do we need to say that with the sale proceeds, what we need to do with it? I mean, we go into surplus or go into reserves?
I think he's already indicated that in his report.
I indicated my desire to have it added to the capital budget. That obviously is out of my.
Okay.
Thank you. Following the agenda, good luck. We have resolution 23-539, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the August 1st, 2023 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? This is 14.1 on the agenda. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Now we move 20.1 up.
remove 20.1 up to 17, the staff report.
So yeah, my understanding was 17.4 was going to come right after 17.3 and then moved up so that Greg wouldn't have to stay as well.
Okay, you can do that.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That saves him now.
No argument.
Okay, so if you want to take the mic and explain about the proposed purchase for the community center kitchen.
So, as you're all aware now, the fridge and it is no longer working at all. And the dishwasher.
This is the bar fridge, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Bar fridge. And the dishwasher is any day now. Won't be working. So I've gone through and got a bunch of prices. And it's not that easy getting these prices because not everything's available. It looks fine when you search them online until you go digging for the prices and nothing's available. You know, that's where the biggest hurdle is right now. Like if you go online and search these fridges and dishwashers, yeah, there's some great deals out there, but there's none available. Mm. So I wanted to keep with the Hobart dishwasher, which we already have in the community center. If we switch from Hobart, then we'll have to get new stainless counters for either side of that. It won't match up. If we go with the Hobart, it's just bolt on, pull it out, put it back in. It keeps everything simple. I think that's the way to go. And Hobart's a really good name. That one's been a good dishwasher. You know, I'm sure it's been worked on over the years, but it really has been a good dishwasher. The fridge, yeah, the fridge part of it, I like the idea of the True Fridge. So that's True that's in there now. The brand name, True. It is a little more costlier than the other iFood, I think it is, group. Mm-hmm. It does cost a little more, but the warranty is considerably more on the True Fridge. You know, for $500, I think it is different. So I really don't know. I think it's probably the value is right in there with one being a True Fridge and two, the warranty's worth a little extra. And also, availability. This one is available. There's a lot out there that just simply aren't. And availability, the dishwasher's the big thing. That's the real kicker. We really have to have a dishwasher in place in there by this weekend because there's a couple of dues going on with the commercial kitchen. If we don't have a dishwasher, the commercial kitchen can't function. Mm-hmm. So it really is priority trying to get this. Yeah. I talked to the company today, Nella. And so the shipping, the $1,000 shipping, $1,099, so $1,100 shipping is now $700. So that's better right there. And that's comparable to the other iFood company. They're $718. So the shipping is now comparable. The iFood is minimum of a week out for a dishwasher. And whatever it is, $1,500 more. So it really, Nelly is really the way to go on this purchase, I believe. I've exhausted my phone and my computer trying to find, you know, the best price, and it's a real rat's nest trying to get everything. And trying to get, you know, maybe if I hadn't went to this company and that company, but trying to get everything. It's difficult to go with one for a fridge and one for a dishwasher, and then shipping times are going to be all over the map. And this way, and your prices for shipping are going to be twice. You're going to pay for the fridge and you're going to pay for the dishwasher. So this way here, it's $700, one shot. That's it. That's all there is to say about that, because So we have to have it.
Installation, you said arrival?
So installation will be, I can get it installed if we can have that dishwasher ordered tomorrow morning. It should ship Thursday. I should be able to install it Friday. And Morrell's will install it.
Yes.
Morrell's point.
They will install
yep.
it Friday?
Yep.
You spoke
I've already
okay.
I penciled it in for Friday. I just said pencil it in and I'll let you know. And then Nella told me if I ordered it by noon tomorrow, that she would get it going. So if everybody's agreeable, we'll get on it first thing in the morning, get it ordered. We can do e-transfer. She'll accept the e-transfer, so as long as we can e-transfer through the municipality, that's fine.
Now, the budget had indicated.
The budget, so the budget's there from the overall, from the spring, the renovation project.
Yeah.
This will just tap into that renovation budget. Yeah. I'm still working on the stove, that hasn't been forgotten. This is just priority. These two items are really our priority. I'm still working on the stove. And it's not as bad pricing on the stove as I once had thought.
Yeah.
It'll be under $10,000. Yeah.
Now, storage of the old units? I mean, where do we put those when they put the new ones in? Because we don't want to get rid of them necessarily. We may have a use for them, so where are they going to
the
be stored?
You might be able to use it for something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, rather than just discarding.
Rather than just roll that one out. I'll look into it.
So you have lots of room in the garage, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'll put it in the fire hall. Oh, he's here.
Oh, he's gone.
just don't throw it out.
No, we won't throw it out. The fridge is easy to get out. The dishwasher, I don't know what it's going to be like when we take that out. Really, by the time we're done with it, is there going to be much left to it? I don't know. I can't say.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't promise anything on that part of it. But there are parts I'm going to be using with the new dishwasher. So I'll be reusing some of those parts.
Okay.
Yeah, like the dispenser for the rinse aid and the soap dispenser, I'll be using that on the new. That saves me about almost $2,000 just by using those two items.
So if it is exactly the same, it's the same brand and everything, then there could be parts on that you could use for...
Down the road? Oh, for
yeah.
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't, like...
Yeah.
It is slightly different,
yeah.
but it's a bolt. Just pull and replace is what I was looking for. I think it's going to be... It'll fit the bill. It's something we got to have. And so, price-wise, the prices go up from there. So the next in line after this is about $16,000 for the next dishwasher. You know what I mean? Like there's other ones available just under this price, but it's some name that I don't know anything about. And I have no idea what it's like. Right. You know? I don't know if we want to go that route. And then I got to buy all new stainless in there, so
yeah.
it's
yeah.
not worth it. No.
Well, is that the original? Dishwasher?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's what I mean. The fridge is
30 years old.
The fridge is out there, too. It's, both of them are good appliances.
Yeah, I think the fridge was an original, but it was bought 20-some years ago.
Yeah, so you can't complain. So it proves right there, why not go Hobart? Why not go True again?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had mentioned to council at some point about there's a freezer in the kitchen there. You know, chest freezer,
yep.
it's stacked right full of stuff right now. I don't know whether the same company would, if you could maybe price a stand-up freezer.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, just for curiosity's sake, when it hurt, I guess. I mean, it's too bad maybe we haven't been ready and could have been shipped to the...
I'm still working on the stove.
Yeah.
So we can get... And
okay.
all these companies all deal in the same, like... Not the same brands, but the same idea for stoves
mm-hmm.
and freezers.
Yeah, council's okay with getting a price at least on a stand-up freezer.
I can do that.
Okay.
It's just this year's a real priority. The more we drag our feet on it, the worse this weekend is going to end up being. I can't guarantee right now if this is all going to go through, but I'll find out really tomorrow if she can ship it on Thursday. So.
Yeah, because I think the kitchen's being used. Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
Afternoon.
This is a priority.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay right on that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Well,
we can't run the kitchen. This is where I'm getting at. Like, it's really cutting close. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Do what you can do. That's all.
Yeah, that's all.
Any further questions? Well, we have a resolution. I don't know why you've done the math, but this resolution has enough figure in it, so.
Yeah, there's a figure.
Whatever number it is here. We'll see if that matches the figure you have.
Okay.
Messing with your number system here. We have resolution 23-541, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of Skeller is hereby received report PW-2023-08, RFQ number PW-2023-01, Community Center Kitchen Equipment Replacement, and further award the request for quotation number PW-2023-01 to Nella Toronto for the purchase of a commercial dishwasher and refrigerator in the amount of $15,365.74, inclusive of shipping and taxes. $15,365.74.
Exactly.
Boy, you're good.
And that's lower than the figure we have on this amendment.
Yeah,
that's because of the shipping reduction.
The shipping was reduced, and I got $500 off on the dishwasher.
Right.
So
okay.
The little things, but yeah.
Good.
15,365.74.
So the shipping is changed to 700, and the HST is 1,767.74.
Okay. Any further questions? All the questions then. All those in favor? None of them. Opposed? One opposed? None opposed, period. You got anything else on there for Craig?
Nope.
That's it? You're good. That's a
you can. You can certainly start.
That's a good.
Get more coffee.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
If Greg hasn't gone, he's changing the lot line.
if it impacts. On to planning matters, set application number B21/2023, header. We have resolution 23-542, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. The result of the Council of the Corporation, Township of Kelly, is hereby approved the proposed lot addition on Brownlee Road as applied for by Susan Header and consent application number B21/2023, subject to the following conditions. Number one, that the applicant's solicitor confirm that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lands. Two, payment of any applicable planning fees. Any discussion? Not sure if we have any report from, we have John Jackson planner report. Any other report? If the council has any particular questions, and whether the applicant may be here to speak to it too. Councilor Hassman.
Yeah, I just noticing that it's usually our tendency to ensure that we have 33 feet each way from the center line of the road. And I was kind of noticing on the benefiting lot section, like it looks like we probably have 66 feet all the way up through there, but it doesn't really indicate that on the benefiting lot section that there, put a drawing here.
The way the corner of that lot.
Yeah.
Goes across the road.
It should actually would show the road actually being on the benefiting lot. So whether we need to have a survey to ensure that we're getting the 66 feet or 33 feet in from the center of the traveled portion of the road.
Okay, so how do you want me to word that?
I know it's been worded on other planning
right.
motions, but
just the as you say, the 10 meters from the center line, is that the...
Yeah, that's right.
That should a survey reveal that the, you know, this person's property, that would be in the township's name, and Carly will get the exact wording. That's a good point on this road, especially, because generally it's thought of as a trespass road, so I'm not sure how much is actually in the township's name would be a good time to do it. And that was that road two in that particular section in that area. It was seasonal at a certain point to Monroe's, and then it was the trespass road on the unassuming. So even now, I mean, that's an area we certainly have to look at with roads, because some of the seasonal roads are receiving winter plowing through a resolution that was started over a decade ago. And what's happening over time is the seasonal roads are losing their description, and people are assuming that the seasonal roads are becoming year-round roads because of that resolution that's been in effect for so long. But that's another whole issue that we have.
Yeah.
I think your idea is a good one to clarify that right now. Get what we can for the township. There's always that question of the wording, should a survey reveal, because then you've left yourself open for, if there's no survey done, you're not going to get any further ahead. Councilor Kekkonen.
Has our Public Works Director of Operations seen this application?
No, he's not seen the application.
Just because the municipality currently uses a portion of this property, and it seems like where the proposed lot line is very, it's in the area that the municipality uses.
We can have that verified.
the actual application, from what I can see in the diagram and everything, it shouldn't really affect the application that for the lot addition. But if council feels that it should be deferred to get more information, that's certainly an option.
Right. Well, this whole the whole retain that doesn't belong to the township anyway. We have permission to dump them.
It doesn't belong to the township.
So I would almost think it's still up to the property owner, you know, whether they'll grant permission to the township or not. So I don't think that really affects where they're proposing put their lot line.
Right. So I wouldn't want to hold it up for that reason.
No. So I'm sure that whoever's going to own this the new lot. Well, might say to the township, no, make sure you don't dump in there. But to me, I don't think it is that section that we do dump anymore. So I think that should be fine, Mike, in my opinion. Anyway.
Any other discussion? We've added a third condition. That any portion of Brownlee Road, 33 feet or 10 meters from the center line, be conveyed to the township. And the assumption that they own it is in there. Obviously, if they don't own it, they can't meet this condition. So I don't know whether you want to write that or not. I mean, I'm just a little concerned that that's a condition, and if they can't meet it, does that defeat the resolution?
It looks so. It's a very, very high probability that they do own it, just the way that the corner of that lot goes right across the roadway.
Yeah, if council wants to work on the high probability as opposed to putting a word in that should the property owners own that portion, it'd be conveyed.
Right, so that would be another addition to it.
Right.
So I think it would make more sense if you put should the property owners.
Should the applicant. To the owner, something like that. Portion of Brownlee Road, 33 feet or 10 meters from the center line, be conveyed to the township should the applicant be the owner. Okay, any further discussion? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to planning matter 15.2. We have a resolution which we'll read and then to discuss. We have resolution 23-543, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PLN 2023-03, the road allowance closure support in principle, Snernitzen, from Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carter Gritton. And further, the Council does hereby approve the request in principle to stop up, close, and sell part of the original road allowance. Fox Farm Road is requested by Andrew Snerdinson, subject to the following conditions. Number one, the registered owner of concession 9, lot 25, be notified by mail of the proposed road closure immediately. Two, the right-of-way, part 4, registered plan 42R-18470, be extended and registered, continuing to grant access to concession 9, lot 25. And three, the road closure shall not interfere with future widening of Fox Farm Road. Open it for discussion with council, and we may have somebody from the public who wishes to speak as well. Anyone from public? Yes, go ahead. Get it up to the microphone with name. Okay.
Looks like I'm the public. So,
just tell your name.
My name is Andrew Snarnitzen.
Okay.
And thank you very much for taking a look at this application once again. Last time I submitted 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, didn't make myself very clear. So that's why I had to adjust based on feedback from last council session. So thank you very much. So this property, as you might see on the screen, had some previous owner had some difficulties arranging it. So again, we knew it before we purchased it. We just recently closed the purchase, and as a result of that, so prior to closing the sale, we had extensive due diligence completed. So you might see a legal rehired a real estate lawyer to provide all the clarifications previous owner struggled with and the neighbors had misconceptions about. So now we have a clear once we completed that due diligence, and let me quote what the lawyer said, that this to confirm that purchasing the property that highlighted in yellow, slightly different slide, that's what the lawyer said. Yeah, that's the one. So highlighting in yellow, extend to Lake Mead Wabing, as you can determine on the blow-up plan 42R187470. And most importantly, he also confirmed the right-of-way which zigzagging across the subject land do not create separate pieces, as Kostrad will hold title to the subject land subject to this rights-of-way. So that was very critical to determine for us, to make sure it's very clear that we own the whole land, there is no pieces, there is no need to have any setbacks from right-of-way, only from the property edges. And once we determined that, that became very clear that there are plenty of pieces where a house could be built. So once we completed that due diligence component, I wear my community member hat. And even though I do not need any additional exemptions from approval to start building based on what I just mentioned and what legal counsel provided, I discussed with him. I said, you know what? Yes, we can build it, but if I build it, it will actually jeopardize or completely eliminate future possibility for the community to build wider road and apply for municipal takeover or whatever right. It's called. And I asked my lawyer to propose solution. What can we do to actually mitigate it? And he said, within existing property, which you do have, you don't need any approvals. You can build as close to right away as possible. But if you would like to actually make sure that in the future, you and everybody else down the road can benefit from municipal road, you should apply for purchase of that unopened road, which is currently not used, and it's like road actually goes around. So again, it's definitely ideal in the land. And that will allow you to actually move your house 7.5 meters inside the lot, which will actually make it possible down the road to have this road being used as a municipal road. And that's what my goal was. Initially, when I submitted it, I didn't realize I highlighted the whole section from the top to the bottom, but Paul Ferguson, I believe, made a very valid point saying, oh, that upper and lower side might interfere with future plan. I totally accept that comment, and I said, you know what, let me resubmit based on a shorter version, because again, the point here is not to grab as much land as possible, but actually to create a buffer which allow me to build based on potential future municipal road type of arrangement. So that's the whole idea behind that purchase of an open road. And obviously, the lawyer said that he will accommodate and put that additional right-of-way on deed to allow for lot 24 and 25 owner to actually continue having access. So again, there is no interference with his ability to access his lot whatsoever. So, and again, as I mentioned, my previous submission, that's why I did not attend it. I saw that it's going to be obvious to the community, but unfortunately, that was my mistake. So again, I just would like to make it very clear that yes, I'm willing to put my own money to make sure down the road the whole community can actually benefit from it. Obviously, I mean, more than I will benefit from it as well, but from the McKellar standpoint, so as of right now, obviously this is unused land and it's never going to be used because again, road already built and this one is unopened road, which will allow not only to monetize this particular area, not only from the sale perspective, but I will be able to build bigger house, even though I can build an existing lot, it's going to be much smaller due to the restraints related to the size of the lot. I will be able to build bigger, obviously bigger property taxes, so there's benefits to McKellar Township as well. From the community perspective, not only this move will allow for future expansion of the road, it's also similar to what I just mentioned. This is the first house you will see once you enter the Fox Road. If I have more space, I will be able to build like better house, so it will increase the value of other houses in the neighborhood. When you enter the neighborhood, you have not a small shed, but actual house first thing. So again, my point is, it's a win-win-win situation for everybody, so that's why I decided to move ahead and invest time and money into actually investigating and purchasing potentially this particular lot, and I hope that you will support this motion.